You know, typically at this time, a lay reader reads the scripture passage, and we have one of our very best scripture readers in Peter Williams here. But there's only one verse that I'm preaching on today. And Peter and I talked, and we thought it probably was better for me to read it. So Peter, we'll get you next time. Don't take this personally. I love you. Let's open our hearts and minds to receive a word, to hear how packed these few words become for us, we who seek to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Pray with me. Gracious God, help us to feel your presence here, now. Wherever we are located, in our emotion, in our journey, help us to trust that you stand by, closer than our breath. And we hear your word say, keep courage, keep up your heart. Open our hearts and minds to receive a word. May it not go empty in us and then inspire us to move gracefully and gratefully into the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the verse that I'm preaching on today is the 11th verse of the 23rd chapter of the book of Acts. And it reads, that night, the Lord stood near him, that means St. Paul, and said, keep up your courage, for just as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must bear witness also in Rome. Well, we come to the end of our congregational study of Acts. Now, I just want to see hands. How many of you were in either one or all of the courses and you've been following Acts through these last few weeks? Fantastic. A good third of us. And for those of you who have been coming to that class, that's all right, because we've been preaching on Acts every week. So I hope that you feel a little bit grounded in this marvelous book written by Luke, who wrote the gospel. He wrote it to show that Christianity belonged in the cosmopolitan Hellenistic world. Just like the Jeffersons and that classic TV show, Christianity was moving on up. To Luke, Jesus was no mere rural peasant. Paul was no mere hot-headed rabble-rouser. Christianity is no mere backwater religion. It was destined by God, you see, to spread from Jerusalem, which was the religious center, to Athens, which was the intellectual center, and all the way to Rome, the political center, and then to infinity and beyond. I'm hip with Toy Story. I hope you've been studying for the test. When's the exam, Clover? Coming up? Okay, soon. Okay. I even had one of those anxiety dreams the other night, you know, about test taking, where you walk into an exam room realizing I'd studied for the wrong thing. I'd gone to the wrong course the whole semester, and then I show up for the final. That's horrible. Or you walk into class feeling rather disrobed, so to speak. You know, it's just, ew. So perhaps there was something about how this verse begins that really caught my attention. That night, the Lord stood near him. And that's significant to me because, see, Paul was feeling some anxiety about his upcoming test. You see, he had returned from his missionary journey with a tribute to the home church in Jerusalem. He had met with James. He had gone to the temple. And just as it had happened to Jesus, so too with Paul, the religious powers of the day were riled up. They were scared that maybe Paul had brought something, someone unclean, into the inner temple. So they raised the alarm of the Roman soldiers, and the Roman guards got involved, and some accused Paul of even being an Egyptian revolutionary. How timely all this is, right? An Egyptian revolutionary who had led 4,000 people into the desert. You know, every time you mess with the religious institution and with the political institution, guess what happens? So, Paul, like Jesus before him, appears before the Roman magistrates and now stands before the Jewish council. And soon Paul will be sent to Rome on trial, where tradition has it he was beheaded in the year 64 of the Christian era, perhaps as part of Emperor Nero's persecution of Christians for setting fire to Rome. You know the old Nero fiddled while Rome burned? That Nero. So in the nighttime, the time of wrestling, the time of wondering if you're doing the right thing, the time of night when you're questioning everything and wished you would have done it differently. You know that time, the 3 a.m. time, when all of a sudden you're awake. And the darkness seems very oppressive and you can't quite get back to sleep. At nighttime, that time, the vulnerable time. You see, Paul is all alone. But we read that night, the Lord stood near to him. And so I ask you, do you feel the Lord standing next to you? You know, I do believe that God does stand near to me and to you, both during those awful hours of the night and during all those good hours of the day. God is not particular. God is constant, you see. God is always and everywhere present. You and I may just not be paying attention. And I grant you, because I've been there, and I know everyone in this hallway has been there too, it can be hard to discern God's presence, particularly when fear and panic are beginning to overwhelm at 3 o'clock in the morning, when you feel lost and lonely and not quite sure. But sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, when I'm feeling that way, I start reciting the Lord's Prayer. And I say, "My Father who art in heaven," just because it helps me. Or instead of counting sheep, I tell myself over and over and over again, "John, remember you're a beloved child of God." You think I just tell you that because I don't need it to hear it every week and every day too? It's certainly not as spiritual, but sometimes in those restless hours, just to get my mind back calibrated, I start imagining myself hitting a baseball. Yes, it's fantasy. Or sometimes I just turn on the light and read a book. And at times, sometimes, you know, the whirling of the mind ceases. And sometimes even that still, small voice of calm descends. And sometimes there is clarity. And sometimes there is new resolve. Sometimes there's even a bit of excitement about what is to come and renewed courage. Sometimes I feel better. Well, I like to think that Paul was having one of those nights and one of those moments. He felt that way, that night, alone in his cell. He felt the Lord near him and he got some clarity, you see. His journey to Rome was going to have some benefits. It wasn't going to be a waste. God would even use this imprisonment for Paul began to believe and see and feel that maybe nothing is good or bad until God gets through with it. Now, isn't it true? You can face almost anything when you feel that courage, or as Christians, when we feel the Lord's presence, or we catch a glimpse of the possible. When you allow yourself to rest or relax, to relax the grip, and you place this moment of panic within the larger momentum of God's grace. It doesn't always happen, but sometimes it does. And I want you to remember those times. What Paul hears in the middle of the night at 3 o'clock in the morning is this: keep up your courage. For just as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must bear witness also for me in Rome. Wow. The word there is courage. It's also translated take heart. Something to do with your heart, where your heart leads you. Take heart. Have courage. It's used six other times in the New Testament. That word. Jesus uses that word when he heals the paralyzed man. Remember that story? He says, take heart. Your sins are forgiven. See, a paralyzed person in the first century was burdened by the belief that his condition was caused by sin. So he carries this vile stigma that haunts and corrupts. And he needs a little courage just to live in the face of such marginalization. Take courage, Jesus says. Take courage. Jesus says the same thing to the woman who had suffered hemorrhages for 12 years. You see, she also faces the stigma of being left out. She is unclean. And the Lord says, take heart. Keep up your courage. Jesus uses this word, speaking to Peter and the disciples who are back in the boat as the storm rages and they're about to be overcome with fear. And he says, take heart, keep up your courage. Jesus uses this word when he's talking to his disciples at the Last Supper and he tells them, you are going to face persecution, so take heart, keep up your courage. Well, I think of the courage it takes to be a single mother living on a block surrounded by foreclosed and empty houses in the neighborhood of our cities. Think about this. If you do not feel connected, if you feel stigmatized, if you feel lost and lonely, it's over, man. You really don't have much of a chance. So perhaps the Lord is calling you and me in this institution to testify to the Lord's presence in the dark and the depressed places of our world. We got to testify, you are not alone. You will not be marginalized. You see, those in power don't like it when people get courageous, when they start stirring things up and giving voice to the voiceless. I remember the proud, courageous women in Nicaragua who was part of the community of other proud women, created a business and walked with stature. I mean, what courage in the midst of such poverty? You see, when you feel you have something to give, something to say, and you get a sense that the Lord wants you to give it and say it and live it, the Lord wants you to testify, then there's hope. See, you're powerful now. You're powerful now. Courage means you can face it, whatever it is. Courage comes from having that trust that there's something beyond the present moment, that somehow it's worth getting on through, breaking on through to the other side. It's amazing what people do when they have that kind of courage and they place their little particularity in the broadness of God's gracious scope. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, the author describes Moses, who is, quote, unafraid of the king's anger. And listen to this, for he persevered as though he saw him who is invisible. Oh my. Moses had the courage because really he kept his eye on the prize. He pulled himself along. You know, sometimes that's the most any of us can do. Pull ourselves along because we are not going to let go of that trust that there is a light on the other side of this darkness. That the Lord is near, standing beside, even if invisible. Here's a little thing to take home with you. Whatever you are going through, imagine, really imagine, the Lord standing next to you in the night and telling you, John, keep your courage. Sarah, keep your courage. Linda, keep your courage. I need you to bear witness. I remember an old man who was dying a very painful death. But you know what? He wanted to leave a legacy of how to die well for his children and his grandchildren. He was amazingly courageous. His thoughts weren't necessarily on heaven. What pulled him through was just a desire to be a witness to his children. I found that really remarkable. I've been reading a new biography of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. You know, he's the guy in Germany who fled Nazi Germany twice, but returned from New York because he believed that the Lord had asked him to testify in Berlin. And just like Paul, he was martyred. I think of Archbishop Oscar Romero, who felt the Lord was calling him to be bishop and to speak out for the marginalized of El Salvador. And you know about that. He was shot down at the altar during Mass. And I think of Dr. King, who really did not want to go to Memphis, but the sanitation workers needed him to make a testimony with them, and he went to bear witness. I mean, this stuff really happens, people. But let's get real. I'm not Paul, and I'm not Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and I am not Bishop Romero, and I am not Dr. King, and I'm not that courageous dying man. Who the heck am I? Yet there are still times in the night when I seek for courage, and I got to ask the Lord, please let me trust you, courage to let things unfold. Courage even to preach an insignificant sermon that I know is going to anger some folks. Courage just to do what I believe I've got to do. Courage to trust that the Lord is present even when the evidence suggests that the Lord is absent. That's where the rubber hits the road, people. That's when real courage kicks in, you see. How about you? Where is the Lord calling you to courage right now? Are you facing a new treatment? Wow. Are you caring for your spouse in an endless succession of sleepless nights when he can't even remember who you are? Talk about keeping heart, keeping courage. You have to tell the truth. You need to express something that needs to be expressed. Are you thinking about the end of high school? Maybe the end of college? And what's next? See, the Lord is calling to you. Keep heart. Keep up your courage. Because I believe that God needs you and you and you and you and you and you and all of you all to testify, to bear witness. The Lord says to Paul, just as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must bear witness to me also in Rome. Now, don't misunderstand. Jerusalem and Rome are more than cities. Sometimes we fall into the temptation that we're not satisfied here, so I better move. Because that's going to make all the difference, and I can recreate myself. Maybe. That sometimes happens. But more often than not, the journey of the heart does not necessitate relocation. Jerusalem and Rome can represent past and future attitudes in a relationship, in a job, just how you look at the day that is before you. I mean, sometimes just getting out of bed and making it to the shower and then downstairs for your oatmeal and coffee may be your biggest journey. The bed that you just want to remain in may be Jerusalem. I don't know. Rome may be the doctor's office, the classroom, the kitchen. Whatever, wherever. Keep up your courage. The Lord is near. You can do it. Let your life speak. Give testimony to your experience because God needs it. The world needs it. So let me close. Remember the past times, even if there's only one of them, when you felt the Lord's presence at night, or all of a sudden you had that moment of clarity. It's like, oh, this is beginning to make sense to me now. The more you remember what you have been through, you begin to believe, yes, tears may tarry through the night, but joy comes in the morning. The more you recall the past struggles that have led you through breakthroughs, the more you hear the testimony of others who have been through, suffered, and persevered, the more you can turn and trust that perhaps on your journey to Rome, things will happen. I don't know, but that thought inspires me that it's not over till it's over. You know, Lent is a good time to consider where the Lord is in your life and where the Lord is calling you to go. Communion is the right sacrament to share because here we got the Lord standing right here beside us. Beside you and you and you and you. Equipping you to bear witness. To give witness in Jerusalem and in Rome. And in Mentor. And in Shaker. And in Lakewood, and in Cleveland Heights, and the downtown city of Cleveland. Keep up your courage. Because the Lord needs you, and the Lord needs us to bear witness. Let it be so. Amen.